Today on Real Radio.
I believe hell is filled with almost Christians. Religious people, moral, good, all that. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that you get to heaven by being religious, moral, or good. They were almost a Christian. Almost. And you think about that. How many people do you and I know like that?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the book of Revelation. We're looking at the first 8 verses of chapter 21, where John, giving an account of what he sees, witnesses a new heaven, a new earth, and a new Jerusalem. It's possibly one of the most awe-striking passages in all the New Testament. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs continuing in his presentation called, When We Come Home.
You ever heard that statement, God said it, I believe it, that settles it? You know, that's wrong. God said it and that settles it. It doesn't matter if I believe it or not. God said it, that settles it. If I'm smart, I'll believe it. Well, I'm glad. He loves us so much. He is so good. He says the former things will pass away. The word means in the Greek to go in the opposite direction. The word is a nautical term also used to set sail. Listen, to set sail a ship, to set sail a ship, but you're not on it. Can you imagine? All right, get it. All right, raise the sail. All right. And the wind fills its sails and the ship starts sailing off into the horizon and you're standing on the shore. It's not that you missed it. Oh my goodness, there goes my boat. No, you raise the sails, you let it go, and the wind carries it away, and you stand there, and it goes over the horizon. Yes! The past is going to go away. Very exciting. Third point, verses 5 to 7, when we come home, everything's going to be complete. Everything's going to be complete. It says here in verse 5, then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. What do we learn from this? That the Lord will pick up where he left off. As I said a moment ago, here is that word new again. He will refresh, complete. He will pick up where he started. The word is also translated revitalize. That's where we get this understanding that he's going to make fresh the heavens and the earth. Not erase them, refresh them by fire. What's amazing to this is that everything's going to be made complete. He's going to pick up where he left off. I'm so glad that God completes his projects. I mean, look, you're looking at one of them right now. You know what? From time to time in my life, I've done all that I can to derail God's process in my life, willfully or unwillfully. I've messed up. And he waits. He's patient. Have you ever been you're so dedicated to something, or you're so, you know, this is the way that it is, and you build your whole life, and you're going this way on it, and you find out you're wrong? And you say, God, where were you? I was with you the whole time. You wouldn't listen to what I was saying. You know, your nose is like this because you hit the wall. Come on, let's go. Boom. Oh, God, where were you? I was with you all the way until I stopped. You kept going, Jack. And you hit the wall. You ever done that? Man, I've done that. He's going to complete that which he started. The 138th Psalm, the psalmist says he will perfect or complete that which he has started. Philippians 1:6 tells us that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. Now I'm very, very glad, and my mind's eye is opening wide because I'm starting to see something about the nature of my God and the plan of my God. If he can take a planet that was sinned or sin-filled, If he can take a planet in the heavens that have borne the scars of man's fall, where all nature travails waiting for the redemption of the sons of man or the sons of God. When I begin to realize that he can take an earth so messed up and so sold under sin and revitalize it, that he now, I see, will take this body, though it be buried in the ground or spread by ashes out over the sea, when he calls forth the resurrection, those molecular atoms will come together and he's going to cause me to stand in a resurrected state. Job said, 5,000-6,000 years ago, Job said, I know in my flesh I will see the Lord. Resurrection. Now I see the power of my God to bring from the total point of destruction and disaster his redemptive work. That he's going to pull this globe out of the pit. He's going to pull the heavens out of the pit. And by the work of Christ on the cross, he's going to pull this old mangy sinner out of the pit. No wonder why death will have no victory and the grave will have no power over us anymore. Because Christ begins something. He's working on it now, and he's going to complete it. And it's not complete in our lives until you and I breathe our last breath on this planet. And then the process will be near complete. You say near? Yeah, near complete. Not totally complete, near complete. What do I mean by that? Because of this, listen carefully. Look at verse 6. The Lord will finish what he alone started. It says in verse 6, and he said to me, it's done. This is the words of Jesus Christ. It's done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and I give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. It's done. Watch this and get excited. I hope you see it. The Lord will finish what he alone started. When Jesus says it's done, do you think there's any, watch out, do you think there's any correlation between it is done in the book of Revelation and it is finished in the book of John? For in John chapter 19, around verse 30, Jesus is on the cross, remember? And he's hanging there, and it's coming near the end of that afternoon, and Jesus breaks the silence as people have gathered around, and Jesus says, it's finished! And it says, with that, he dismissed his spirit and he bowed his head. He died. It's finished, and it is done. Two different words, two different statements from Christ. What do they mean? When Jesus was on the cross and he announced it was finished, what was finished? That's right, sin's debt was paid. All of humanity's sins, past, present, and future, I take upon me now. I've suffered the price and the cost and the debt of it for all of man. For God so loved the world that he gave me his only begotten Son, that if you people would believe in me, you'll not perish but have everlasting life, John 3:16. And he dismissed his spirit. Now watch. He paid for all of man's sins. The word is teleo, where we get totelestai. It means to take a fact, to take a truth, and to convey it, to transfer. Jesus on the cross was, listen, he was transferring the blessings of heaven as the mediator between man and God. He was suspended on a cross. In a sense, he went, heaven, for what I've just done for mankind, I declare this transaction, totelestai, transfer my righteousness upon this godless world. And he transferred it. But you have to believe him. You just don't live like hell and then expect to get into heaven. But you don't work your way into heaven either. That's not possible. You say to God this morning, Lord, I believe that you are suspended between heaven and earth and that you transferred your righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 to 21. For we are new creations in Christ, right? How did that happen? Keep reading. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 says, he, Christ, who knew no sin, became sin for us that we might receive the righteousness of God, which is in faith through him. That's awesome. So he was there, and when it was done, he says, it's finished. That means mankind, you cannot buy your way into heaven. You cannot do anything to get into heaven other than to do the works of God. And what is the works of God? To trust on him whom God has sent. Because that was the question. Lord, what must I do to do the works of God? And Jesus said, this is the work of God. Believe on him. Can you see him doing this? You could see him do this. He points to his robe. He points to his chest. Believe on him. Moi? Whom God has sent. Well, I can do that. Then do it. That's, it is finished. This is, it is done. What is that, that it is done? Time has run its course. Listen, eternity now commences. I have completed all that I set forth to do. Listen, I have delivered the fold into, or the sheep, I could say, into the pasture, into the sheepfold. I have, not one of them have been lost. Does that sound familiar? I've left the 99 to go get the one. All those who will come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Though you be not faithful, I am faithful still. I, after all of this time, now that eternity is about to commence, people have come to me since the beginning of time, throughout the age of the Old Testament, the age of the New Testament, the age of grace, during the tribulation period, people will come to faith in me during the millennium. Now the millennium's over, eternity begins, and I deliver now the sheep into the kingdom forever and ever. I, as the good shepherd, have completed my task. It is done. He completed it all. He not only saved us at the cross, but his promise to deliver us into heaven is based upon his performance, not yours. Am I yelling? I'm sorry. I just realized I'm screaming at you. You're going to get to heaven because he's faithful. You're going to get to heaven because he did it. You didn't do it. He did it. Man, I think I want to get saved again. He will finish what he has started. Verse 7 tells us that he will be our all in all. The Lord will be our all in all. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Or you'll be his daughter. The Lord will be everything for us. Fourth and final point. I wish we could stop here, but we can't do that. Fourth and final point is found in verse 8. When we come home, you know what, you guys? This is going to sound mean, but when we come home, it's going to be great. You want to know why? Because there's not going to be any riffraff there. There's not going to be any shenanigans going on there. There's not going to be any sin there. There's going to be the separation of separations. Do you remember last week when it said the rest of the dead that were not found written in the book of life did not live again until after the 1,000 years had expired? The 1,000 years expires and then chapter 21 begins. Eternity. That's what verse 8 is all about. Everything's going to be right. Why? How? Because, my friend, look with me, verse 8, the rejecter will be rejected. The person who has rejected Christ, his Bible, his offer, will be rejected himself. It's in the wording, my friend. Look at verse 8. It says, the cowardly, unbelieving, and abominable will not be there. The word cowardly, you know what the word means? The almost. This sounds like a scary movie. The almost? Yeah, the word means the almost, the dread, the timid, the unbelieving, the unwilling to walk in faith. Timid. But it's shocking to me. The almost. And then it immediately came to my mind, book of Acts chapter 26. Paul was in prison on his way to Rome, but he hadn't left yet. He was in Caesarea. Do you guys remember several weeks ago in Caesarea where we were standing? Remember the Mediterranean was to my back and you were in that great theater? That's where Paul stood. And he's pleading with Agrippa. Agrippa, I know that you know the prophets. You had a Jewish upbringing. I know that you know the prophets and you believe them. Agrippa, I know that you believe in the words that I'm saying. And King Agrippa says, Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. And Paul says, I would to God that not only you, but all those who hear me at this moment would not only almost, but altogether become as I am, a Christian. Listen, I believe hell is filled with almost Christians. Religious people, moral, good, all that. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that you get to heaven by being religious, moral, or good. They were almost a Christian. Almost. And you think about that. How many people do you and I know like that? You could be married to someone like that. You could have those kinds of children, or you can have those kinds of parents. They're almost a Christian. And you share with them, and you love on them, and they say things like this. Well, you know, maybe I'll become a Christian. I don't know. Maybe. I'll think about it. You almost persuade me to be a Christian. I would to God that not only you, but all those that are in the hearing of this right now would not only almost, but altogether be as I am. Why? Because I'm going to heaven. And it's a tragedy to think that you might miss it. And you'll have nobody to blame but your own self. Cowardly. Unbelieving. It means faithless, double-minded. You wobble back and forth regarding the things of God. This abominable is a tragic word. Listen to this. It means the disgusting, stinking thing. Wow, it's violent language. It's very violent language. Watch this. The word implies that there's an idol, and that you place your offering before the idol, and that offering begins to rot. Example, you take an innocent little lamb, sacrifice it, and present it before this idol, and it begins to stink. Flies begin to form around it. Maggots are laid upon it. The meat begins to putrefy. Or you present the fruit and it begins to go sour and rotten. You know what I'm talking about? That's the word here. God says these are the ones that miss it. They make offerings, but their offerings stink because it's rotten. They won't be there. Look at this. The abuser will be abused. Murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, and idolaters. Murderers, this is the word homicide, homicidal, the murderer. Jesus said, if you look at somebody and you hate them in your heart, you have committed what? Murder. By the way, don't confuse murder with killing. There's a big difference. There's a lot that's done today in our culture that they call it killing when it is murder. A drive-by shooting is a murder. Why am I making the distinction? The Bible says, listen, don't get messed up by the English. The Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not murder. The English might be translated wrongfully, thou shalt not kill. While we live in this fallen world, did you know that God does not consider, for example, warfare, if a man kills another man at war? Did you know that that's not called murder? And God does not judge anyone according to murder in that sense, in the specter of war. That's killing. It's different. The word used here is homicide. To slay a man, God says, you're not going to make it. Sexually immoral. You know what the word here is? Porno. It's the word in Greek, porno. Listen to this. Prostitution, male, female, prostitute. Someone who's debauched or debased in sexual conduct, be it fornication, that is sex outside of marriage between someone, or whoremonging, or adultery. God says the guy that's looking at this nasty stuff, he's not going to make it. The guy going to the peep shows, the woman going to the, you know, the strip club to see the guys dance in the Chippendale club, not going to go. Wow. Idolaters, people who erect things up that they love them and live for them and find their meaning in them, God says, you're not going to go. And we'll end with this, verse 8, because the deceiver will have been deceived. No liar will be there, but will rather be burning with fire and brimstone in the lake of fire, which is the second death. No liar is going to be there. Jesus said that Satan is the father of lies, and those who live lies are the children of Satan. You see how I wanted to end in verse 7? But if I didn't tell you verse 8, then I'd be guilty. When I read verse 8, I thank God for verses 1 to 7. You say, well, how can you be so sure? And after reading that list, you little self-righteous creep, you, after reading that list? Oh, no, let me tell you something. Paul the Apostle spoke to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It's the last verse I'm going to give you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. He says, don't you know that those who do wrong will not have any share in the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin, those who are idol worshipers, those who are adulterers or prostitutes or homosexuals, thieves, greedy people, drunkards, abusers, and swindlers, none of these will share in the kingdom of God. There was a time, though, when some of you were just like that. But now your sins have been washed away and you have been set apart for God. You have been made right with God because of what Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit have done by bringing you to God. Amen. Oh, wait a minute. Are there any hookers in here? You can go to heaven. Anybody murder anybody in here? You can go to heaven. Have you hated somebody in your heart? You can go to heaven. You got an idol? Did you drive it? You driving it home? You can go to heaven. Have you swindled anybody in bogus business transactions that you think you got away with? God says you can go to heaven. And such were some of you, but you were washed. You guys, I've been to Corinth. I've been to the Bema Seat. I've been to that city. Corinth was a whacked out place. None of us would live in Corinth. It was so messed up. In fact, in the ancient world, if you were a big, big sinner, they called you, you Corinthian, you. Did you know that? You Corinthian. That's how bad Corinth was. They got saved. You too. You can get saved. Oh, Pastor, this really means a lot to me, and I want to get saved, but I'm such a big sinner. Two things. Number one, get saved. Call upon him now. Number two, don't flatter yourself. You think you sinned bigger than Jesus' blood is to cover? You're not that big of a sinner. No one ever has been. His blood is able. You're the one that's keeping you back from entering the kingdom. Stop being almost and give your heart to him now.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a study called When We Come Home, it's a look at the first 8 verses of Revelation chapter 21, a look at the new heaven, the new earth, and the New Jerusalem. On tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, we'll begin looking at the remainder of this chapter, so be sure and join us. Remember when we first started out studying the book of Revelation? You may recall that as we looked at chapters 2 and 3, we were looking at passages that were vastly different than what we're looking at now with all of this symbolic and apocalyptic language. The letters to the 7 churches of chapters 2 and 3 were quite literal and historical. Well, Real Radio is offering that very series now on CD. It's called Letters to the 7 Churches, What Kind of Church Are You? The subtitle alone indicates how deeply soul-searching this audio series is. Letters to the 7 Churches contains, you guessed it, 7 CDs. And it's yours for a gift of $24 or more to Real Radio. Letters to the 7 Churches, What Kind of Church Are You? Now, you can secure your own copy in one of 3 ways: call, click, or write. Starting with our website, visit us at www.realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or contact us by telephone at 909-393-7100, 909-393-7100, or write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, any details you may have missed are found at realradioactive.org, www.realradioactive.org. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine
amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.